This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are tingling with electricity because we are so excited. We've had racing at COTA. One of our favorite drivers on the planet just won the IndyCar race. Boom. Formula One is in action.
Big weekend, wasn't it?
It was a huge weekend. And the studio is like 47 degrees, so we're all...
Hey, we're not paying raining.
That bill. Yeah. And it's not raining, absolutely. So, yes, you're listening to Speed City. We are in Austin, Texas, where there was some racing out at COTA this weekend. And let's talk about what we got, because we got Alexander Rossi on the show, exclusive interview. We just finished it up. We're going to play that here in a minute. And he won in IndyCar at Watkins Glen. Very exciting. And we're going to talk Formula One. We've got Inga.
And I'll tell you, I had a neat compliment, I'll have to say, is that somebody was... Yeah, talking to me, he said, I like when Alexander Rossi's on y'all's show because y'all have known him so long and it's different than you get with everybody else. So I thought I'm going to take that as a compliment.
That is very true. We've known Alexander Rossi since we were driving across Congress Avenue at a speed that I cannot say in a Caterham with him at the wheel.
Well, it didn't last that long because he was so heavy-footed, he broke the accelerator cable.
Absolutely, and that's when we left Les on the side of the road with Rossi to fix the car. And
if you're going to leave someone.
Yeah, that's true.
Got it fixed.
And he may never have won the 500 were it not for Les that morning at Ben White.
Ben White and South
made
Congress.
It into the studio a bit disoriented and heat stroke.
Seriously, if he goes on to be if there's a brass statue outside the Indy 500 one day, you should say, I was there.
Well, okay, so funny. So we're in line at the 100th parade, the staging of all the pace cars. They have the drivers on, and I met the woman, Miss Leslie, that was going to drive his parade car, and they sit on the rear deck, the drivers do. And so I'm standing there, and Rossi is there with his buddy, and, another friend sitting on the rear deck, and I said, don't worry, Alexander, I've already talked to her and told her, we don't have to worry about breaking an accelerator cable because this one drives by wire, the new Camaro, it's where you're all good to go. And he just laughed and he goes, you had to go there, didn't you? I said, definitely had to go there.
Absolutely. Well, all right, well, let's go ahead and play this interview we did with Alexander Rossi maybe a half hour ago. He was just finishing up his press tour and we caught up with him. Very excited. Alexander Rossi.
Alexander Rossi, we are standing up and doing a round of applause. Hey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep standing.
We will.
Alrighty.
First and foremost, congratulations, because I know that this is, you always want to win, but I know that you wanted to win sort of outright against the toughest of competition, and I know you've got a soft spot for Watkins Glen, so it just seemed like everything fell into place today.
Everything did fall into place, and it didn't at the same time. It was very reminiscent of the 100th Indianapolis 500. So we, in the first stop, we had a fuel issue, didn't get all the fuel in the car. and had to come back in, even though we were leading and we were by far the quickest car on the track. So we had to come in about 10 laps early, which obviously was really detrimental to us. But then 2 laps later, we got a yellow, which we needed. So it all ended up working out in the end. And just a huge shout out to the whole Andretti Autosport team for making the right calls and giving me a race car that I was obviously able to challenge Scott Dixon with at the end.
All right. I forget who it was that came on, one of the other winners that came on and said, we thought we were going to have to Rossi it.
You become a verb.
Yeah, I guess so.
But in all seriousness, it really was, I mean, all through the weekend, I mean, pole position, you know, everything, you know, forget the fuel thing, which you recovered from brilliantly, but you've got to feel really satisfied. I mean, you know, it was man-o-man at the end. Scott Dixon's won the damn thing 4 times there. He's in the championship hunt. You know, he could have done with the points, and he certainly wasn't holding back. It was funny when you came out, I don't know how aware you and your team were, but I'm sure you were, but you almost had identical amount of push to pass. In fact, you had more in reserve than he did, but he used every inch of it. Did you?
Yeah, no, I had probably 10-15 seconds left at the end, but yeah, I mean, we were good on fuel at that point. We knew that we had a bit of an advantage on him just because I had clear track and we had been stronger through the race. So, you know, I was pretty confident taking the green, and the first 2 laps, like, I pushed pretty hard, but he stayed with me. So I was like, oh, okay, well, it's going to be like that. So I had to dig pretty deep, and we traded fastest lap back and forth. But at the end of the day, like I said, I mean, the Napa Auto Parts and Andretti Honda was strong since we rolled off on Friday. We were never out of the top 5 in any session. And it was just one of those weekends where, as a racing driver, you dream about.
Alex, I know that, you know, you won the Indy 500 last year, and you've just got to be, you've been really close the last few weeks, and you probably knew this was coming, but tell me how this is different. Your first win outside the Indy 500, this has just got to be so huge for you.
It is. I mean, it's validation for the whole team. I mean, I've been saying for the whole year how much better Andretti Autosport is and how much more competitive we are, but we didn't have the results on paper to show it, and that was really, you know, weighing us down. But, you know, we've had a lot of positive runs and good momentum, and we've been at the sharp end the kind of the last 4 or 5 races. So we knew that, you know, our time was ticking down to get a win in 2017. So I think the whole team's just relieved we were able to do it and do it in the way that we did, obviously proving that, you know, we could win outright and on pace against Scott, who's one of the best around here. So that was all very, very satisfying. We'll enjoy it, you know, this evening, but come tomorrow morning, we've got to focus on Sonoma. I mean, it's a double points race. It's as mathematically important as the Indy 500. So there's a lot of work to be done still.
I was going to say, in that respect, mathematically, I know it's a bit of an outside chance, but mathematically, you could still win this thing. And I suppose in some ways, you go into Sonoma with really no pressure on. You've got a win under your belt now already. How do you play Sonoma? Are you going to go for it?
Oh yeah, I mean, Sonoma was our best race outside of Indianapolis and Pocono, so the super speedways last year. So, with the advancements and improvements we made in car development and setup, you know, Sonoma will be strong for us again. So, you know, that was always the one I was looking at as the one that I was hoping to win. So to get Watkins Glen and get that done and tick that box, really, as you said, there's no pressure. I mean, yeah, mathematically, I'm in it. I'm not even considering the championship. I just want to go try and win at home. I have a lot of friends and family coming out to that one, and it's a track that I love. So I know we'll be fast, and hopefully we can deliver again.
Yeah, maybe not mathematically in the championship, but I bet you to me, you're got to be one of the favorites going into the race because you did so well, and you've been doing so well, and coming off of a win, you know, nothing like confidence of a win to boost the next chances. So I think that you got to be considered one of the favorites.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see in about a week and a half.
Alex, I got to ask you because, you know, we've known you since you were, you know, back in your single seater days for Formula One and on the European tracks. And there's always that comment about Formula One drivers making the adjustment to oval racing. And they always say, oh, you know, it takes a lot of time. I mean, Townsend Bell, you won't be aware of this, but said in commentary that what he was particularly pleased about today was that you won on a road track, but he considers you to be one of the top oval drivers now in the series, which is high praise from someone like Townsend. So do you feel the same way, that you've already conquered that kind of thing that everybody says is so hard to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're close. The super speedways is very comfortable for me now. And I feel that, you know, if we have a good car, we can challenge for a win on any of the speedways and in any given circumstance. The short ovals are still pretty hairy and chaotic. But yeah, I mean, I think we're good on the ovals, no doubt. But always there's stuff to learn and improvements to be made. And with a new car coming on board next year, it's going to level the playing field out a little bit. And we'll get to see, you know, firsthand who comes out of the box the strongest. And hopefully it's us.
You know, Alex, not long ago, I guess about a year and a half ago, you were here in Austin. You were before one of the F1 races, I guess it would have been 15. And you know, you were kind of up in the air. It's like, what's going to happen? Where am I going to go? You know, because F1 was not, there was not a clear path. And this right now, on top of the Indy 500 win, this now and where everybody's looking at you now, this is just a huge turn from where you were. I mean, describe what that feeling between now and back then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in 15, we were looking at having a contract in F1 with Manor in 2016. And that didn't come together. It was a very last-minute thing where we found out that wasn't going to be the case in February. And fortunately, the stars aligned, and Michael Andretti and Brian Hart Autosport were adding another car to the Andretti Autosport organization. So that was kind of a lifeline, if you will. Then we went on to win the 500. We had Napa come on board for that weekend, so they continued on through 2017 and have extended their role into 2018 and 2019. So yeah, definitely it's been a pretty big turn of events, and I feel very fortunate to have been in that position in February to have the opportunity to come drive for, you know, one of the best teams in the series at the beginning of last year.
Alexander, yeah, so proud to say we knew you win. But, you know, one of the things that came up that I thought was really interesting is we talked about, or on the commentary, we heard something about Watkins Glen is one of your absolute favorites. I guess it was historically and features. What is it specifically that makes that track stand out for you?
I mean, it's just very smooth, fast, high grip, high commitment, very much like a European track. So for me, it was everything that I was dealing with second nature around here, whereas on some of the older road courses or super bumpy street tracks, it's still pretty far from what I knew or know. So this one was, I know how to drive these tracks, and I love coming here, and this place is an IndyCar at its absolute best. So it's a privilege that we as the Rising IndyCar Series get to come here, and hopefully we'll be here for many years to come.
Sounds like a good, comfortable pair of boots.
And we're excited because we've got so many young Americans now with yourself, obviously Joseph, Kimball starting to show good too. It's a really good era. I mean, we've still got the old guys who are very fast, Castro Nevers, obviously. But it's starting to really look good for the future. You must be pleased that you've arrived when you've arrived.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we need American, young Americans in the front, and Scott and Will, they're not going away anytime soon. So, yeah. You know, we got our work cut out for us, but obviously Joseph's leading the championship, which is pretty awesome. And hopefully, you know, this is just the beginning of something pretty great over the next decade or so.
Well, Alec, go ahead, Les.
I think it's fantastic, but I got to ask, I mean, knowing who you know, knowing what you know already coming this far, Fernando Alonso made a comment today, and I want to get your perspective. Basically, it was pointing towards your team about what might happen with the engines. And it's obvious he's paying a lot of attention to your team. Do you have any whispers to tell us about what y'all have heard about what he's going to do next year? He's obviously thinking of some changes.
I mean, I have no idea. I would be very surprised if he were to come into car racing. However, if he was, I'd love it. And I think he'd add a lot to the sport.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, my thoughts are, there is going to be something IndyCar in his plan next year.
All right.
Maybe again, yeah, like we saw this year.
There's room for him.
Yeah. Well, Alexander Rossi, we want to thank you for coming on the show, but we're letting us be a part
of your story.
Your story. I mean, we've been with you, following you, and having you on the show. I don't know if you recall. We have to say he was our very first guest on the radio, so we have to say it. But Alex, thanks again for coming on. And
my pleasure, guys.
Congratulations and best
well
of luck.
Well done again, mate.
Travel safe, buddy.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you all.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one.
Bye.
Okay. Did you hear him close it? He said, you all. Almost, y'all. We're getting him trained. We're getting him there.
I like it.
He spent way too much time down here in Austin.
That's true.
In this neck of the woods.
And by the way, we didn't belabor it because he is a modest guy, as we all know. But hey, 32 laps led, pole position. You get a point for pole position, two laps. You got 54 points. That's more than anybody scored in the whole season in terms of one race.
Nice.
Because you can win the race, but to have, you know, all of the other above to lead the race. I mean, led the most laps, all the rest of it. So it was a very emphatic win. And more importantly, he beat Scott Dixon in a Honda. In other words, same equipment, same amount of push to pass. Scott was not under any, you know, hold back because he was, you know, he wants the points too with Joseph Newgarden at. So we saw a race win. And like I said, I know he hates being told the fuel winner and, about that at the Indy 500. But this was a pure, pure win.
You know, I'm disappointed that he hates it because it was good strategy.
It was.
He won. Everything was fair. And, you know, I'm going to disagree with that.
It's not so much he hates it. It's just that I remember.
It's a little prickly. You're always remembering.
It's a little prickly. I tell you why, because you remember the media day at 500.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's interview after interview. So everybody's asking them the same question was, when are you going to win a race without, the strategy?
Yeah.
And it kind of, I think it got to him a little
bit.
It's
a winning strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
I win it.
Yeah.
All right, having said that, last thing but not least, nice that your teammate spins round to cause an all yellow caution at just the right time.
That was handy, wasn't it?
Hey, careful. You just followed up a discussion about strategy.
All right, we got to take a break, guys. When we come back, we're going to have Inga Strecka, an interview we did with her talking about Formula One. We're going to spend a good bit of the next segment talking Formula One. Stick with us. Live from Austin, Texas, Speed City.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
All right, so we talked IndyCar. Wait, Les has got his hand up. You have a question?
Congrats. Sir, this isn't school.
Congrats, Mario Andretti just got recognized for a big motorsports.
Oh, yeah. You can put your hand up for that. Well done. Well done, Kaiser.
Congrats.
Sit down now,
Papa
Kaiser.
Andretti.
Do you remember? Did you get the award? Do you know what it is off the top of your head? Or are we going to have to look it up?
Whatever.
It was mentioned. Yeah, Lee Diffie mentioned it on the show.
Yeah, it was a big, huge kind of lifetime achievement type award. So.
And he deserves all of it.
All right, so we're going to talk Formula One in a minute, but we're also just want to give you a heads up. We're going to talk some WEC because the 6 hours of Mexico just wrapped up about, I don't know, an hour ago or so.
I also want to, before we finish with Indy, just want to kind of remind everybody what the situation is. Rossi, with that win, is mathematically now in sixth place, a possibility with double points at Sonoma, 50 for a win, et cetera, with the extras. He's less than 100 behind the leader, Joseph Newgarden, who, of course, had a crash today. He's on 560. Dixon's very much in it, looking for a fifth title. He's three behind. Elio, the man who's never won the title, but he's won the Indy 500. In third place, Pagano, last year's champion, he's there. Will Power, always a champion, he's there.
Okay, math magician.
I like that.
You did all that. Now tell me, what has to happen for Rossi to win?
Well, what happens, right? It needs an obtuse angle followed by a Sonoma snowball.
Basically, everybody.
Well, I thought it was going to be one of the John Madden responses. Well, he's got to score more points than the others.
To be fair, 2 years ago, this happened and there was exactly the same number, which included Montoya, Ray Hall, and a few others. And no one mentioned Scott Dixon because no one expected him to win. And you're right. Everybody fell by the wayside. Power got knocked out. Somebody else didn't make it. Montoya broke down. Ray Hall didn't get high enough. And Dixon took the championship.
Oh, okay, then. All right. Well, hey, well, let's jump in. I want to go to Formula One, and I want to start with the interview you and Inga Strecka did, because you guys cover a lot of the ground. But, it was not the most exciting, but there was lots of cool stories, especially if you go past. I think the dominant story was the word dominance, and that is Mercedes looked insanely fast today. Mm. The way Bottas went around the Ferrari cars at the beginning of the race and went straight to the front behind Hamilton, it was just like, wow, those cars are fast. But let's go ahead and play that with Inga Strecka.
Okay, Speed City fans, another race in the books, the famous Monza, and we have on the line, as always, Inga Strecka, who has been following the action very closely indeed. Inga, we've done a few Monzas in our time. It's always a great atmosphere, but it seems like it's almost growing. The scenes at the end of the race this weekend were pretty special, weren't they?
Absolutely, Johnson. Hey there, and buongiorno, as they say, in Monza. listen, it was just amazing. A sea of red of people cheering underneath the podium. And even Lewis Hamilton said it. He said it before. He said, this podium is special because the podium is just like basically built to be hanging over the start-finish straight. And when there's tens of thousands of fans after the race running down to be there, to be cheering on, there was like red smoke, red flags, red clothing, people, unbelievable. And then those massively big Ferrari logo, I don't know what there are, banners pulled across the entire racetrack on the start-finish straight with the black prancing horse on yellow. It's just a breathtaking atmosphere.
And a special, special weekend for Lewis Hamilton. I mean, he breaks the qualifying record when, you know, with all those delays and the rain and so on, and then wins the race and takes the championship lead in the back garden, effectively, of Ferrari. That's job done, isn't it?
Absolutely. I wouldn't even see back garden. I would see, like, the living room, the front yard, you know. And actually, you know what? A nice touch. Lewis, I think, dedicated his pole record to Michael Schumacher, who held the record before him. That was a very, very nice touch in the land of Ferrari.
Is this the turning point then? Do you feel now that Mercedes have got the impetus to go all the way, or a Ferrari going to answer, a Red Bull going to answer in Singapore?
Well, look, I think it's the turning point in a way that we are going to expect or can expect the most exciting upcoming races until the final. I pray for that it will not be decided until Abu Dhabi, and I think that's how it's going to be. Wouldn't it be absolutely fantastic if it would be swinging back and forth between Hamilton and Vettel now every race? And mind you, this is the first time this year we've had a back-to-back win.
Yeah, good point. There's no question that, in my mind, Lewis has definitely got his act to the point where he and Bottas are working together to win that championship. And obviously Raikkonen is now helping Vettel, but I do think that the impetus is with Mercedes, and once Lewis gets in this mood, it's really hard to I think the only thing that can distract Lewis now is the form of Verstappen, Ricciardo, and a few others.
We will see. I think Sebastian Vettel, I can tell, like, I look at him and the way he moves and stuff. He was happy.
Yeah.
He saw him on the podium, you know, that was genuinely happy. And he even said, look, the next race, Singapore, I think that's a better one for us. We'll maybe turn it around. And he also, you have to keep that in mind, he was disadvantaged in qualifying. with all that rain and everything, him and Kimi Räikkönen only behind. And also he had a problem with his steering at the very beginning of the race. He admitted he had a crack and he had to go through the escape road and lost quite a bit of time there. And then, of course, it wasn't all perfect. So I think, really, Vettel can challenge him again. And maybe he can snatch back the championship lead next race and then maybe goes back to Hamilton. Who knows?
Another footnote, though, like I said, an important weekend. Is it an important weekend also for Fernando Alonso? Another DNF. Is this the death knell, or is he going to stick with it? You were up there at Monza. What do you think? What's the inside scoop on what you think is going to happen both to McLaren and to Alonso? I know I've asked you before, but it's ongoing, isn't it?
I hear the rumors being very strong that he could go to Williams. I hear very strong rumors for that. And that could see maybe Ocon moving to Renault. I also hear rumor Alonso going to Renault, but I think the Williams rumor is stronger. Or maybe he'll stay at McLaren, but he said he'll only stay if they're going to be competitive. He has denied the rumor that he has said he'll only stay if they ditch the Honda. He said, I did never say that. There are rumors that Honda might move to Toro Rosso.
Well, Jonathan, I want to follow that straight up.
Open up the silly season.
Yes, with the silly season discussion. And by the way, the rest of that Inga interview is up on our SoundCloud account as of about 15 minutes ago, so you can check that.
Yeah, well, we tweet it out.
Yep. And we're going to have lots more F1 discussion, but I want to start with the silly season. And I think a good way to start this will be a play another short clip from Fernando Alonso, because at the end of it.
And remember what Inga just said, because he didn't mention that. He does a pivot.
Yeah, he did not mention Williams. He did
no,
not mention, yeah.
But I find that very interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. All right, let's hear Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, difficult. I think disappointment for McLaren. The bosses were here today and we could not deliver a points result for them. So, yeah, hopefully on the next one we can do a better job.
What's next for Fernando Alonso?
Keep looking what options are there for next year. I think maybe in the next coming week some news will be out for McLaren. Some news that we saw yesterday for the LMP1 category for the WEC. Some news also for the IndyCar with Andretti keeping Honda as a supplier and the new bodywork and things like that. So, you know, many news are coming in the next weeks, and hopefully all of them will be useful for me to make a decision.
Jonathan Green, I need your thoughts on all of the above.
All of the above, yeah. I do find it interesting because I hadn't really given a lot of thought to the Williams idea. And what I mean by that is I kind of was like, you know, Fernando's out of that. You know, Williams don't buy big drivers. They don't pay a lot of money for drivers. That said, Fernando isn't really looking for money. He's looking for a competitive car, and a Williams Mercedes would be just that. Massa came back from retirement because Bottas left. So Massa's not going to stay on forever. Fernando needs a ride. Williams aren't stupid, nor is Fernando. So if Fernando is going to stay in Formula One, that Williams drive is a very good possibility. The other ones, Renault, don't believe that. Because I just don't see it. I think that more likely that Ocon move for Renault. But here's another one. James Allen put this one. How about this for a twist? How about, and this was announced on Friday, and this opens all of it up because it's manufacturers again, or at least it's engines again. Toro Rosso are now looking at taking over the Honda deal.
Ooh.
And in return, McLaren would get Renault engines.
Okay.
But also in that deal, Renault, the factory team, would take Carlos Sainz from Toro Rosso and put him in the car instead
Very
of Jolyon Palmer.
Well, we've come to a spot. We got to take a break, but there's a lot more to this discussion. There's actually a lot more in F1 that I want to talk about, but we're also going to talk FIAWC here in just a minute, World Endurance Championship. We're going to take this break, and we also have an interview with a Pirelli World Challenge driver who was out at COTA today. So stick with us after the break. Listen to Speed City live in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory-authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
David Hobbs and Lee Diffy. Lee Diffy did the double today.
He did the double.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they got him running around.
And I think if I heard him correctly, he actually did fly to second race.
Yeah.
None of the studio calling it in.
He tweeted a picture of himself inside the plane. He was making the rounds. All right, well, Jonathan, before we go to WEC, I still want to talk Formula One. There's too much happening. I wanted you to continue.
Well, I wanted you, yeah, the other part of the equation is that Friday morning, a deal was done with Sauber for Ferrari engines for 2018. And they already have Ferrari engines, but they had a lower spec or an older spec. And now they're getting the full 2018 spec, which is effectively equal to Haas. So, and also in that deal could come the possibility of a Ferrari junior driver like Leclerc or Giovinazzi, who's had some time under the wheel. But everybody's talking about Charles Leclerc. This could be an opportunity. Put him in the Sauber team.
Yeah, there you go.
Ferrari junior driver. And there is a thought that he could also be railroaded straight through in 2019, to the Raikkonen seat at Ferrari.
Well, and a lot of that leads back to the comments by Gene Haas this weekend.
Yes.
You know, you can take them quite a few different ways there. So if you didn't hear the comments from Gene, and we'll try to find them and get them out there, but the short version is he commented on how thick the competition is after the first four places in the series. And so it really is. It's anybody's game in the mid-pack, and they're beating up on each other. You know, Haas is doing well, but one, I think he's learning a little reality that F1's not as easy as, you know, some might have thought, but he's handled it really well coming in. The strategy of the team's been there, but here we are in the middle. What was your take on it, Jonathan?
Yeah, it was actually a depressing kind of interview because Gene has been so positive about being in Formula One for the right reasons, and I think that the time they took away from not jumping at the season earlier a couple of years ago, and then waiting till last season, and look what they did last season. They've kind of capitalized on that this season again, more points, and they're going better than ever. And they could still beat Toro Rosso, but as Gene, I mean, the way I listened to it, Gene said, "I'm not just going to do this for the heck of it and be midfield forever." I mean, he's got his own sponsorship on the car right now, but sure, it will be hard to attract a blue chip sponsor, especially an American one, if you really can't guarantee a win.
Well, you know, all I have to say, I'm surprised that Magnussen is the one that's led with all the points for the team. Not all the points, but he's got a majority of them. So that surprises me. But, you know, Grosjean is still an amazing driver, but knowing more of Grosjean being an amazing driver and still being midfield with first-rate Ferrari drivetrain still raises a question, what's it going to take to shake it up?
It's a very good point. And I think Gene was alluding to the fact that really there's a group of the top four. There's a great midfield battle between themselves, Sauber, McLaren, I suppose, if you put them in the same box. But, it's going to take money. It's as simple as that.
I got a question for you. Speaking of money, this just occurred to me, you know, that I knew that's what you were going to lead up to. Of course it takes money. That's the big thing. And would you ever be able to compete with the money that Mercedes has? Would you? And then the question I'm going to ask you, Jonathan, would you ever be able to compete with the money that Ferrari has and the disproportionate amount of money that Ferrari gets? Is that going to change under Liberty? Is it, should that change?
Aha, the pursuit of liberty. Yes. I really do think so. I think this is step one of Gene's kind of, guys, we got to look at the model here. And I really do think that's the problem with Formula One, is that it is skewed. It's been a brilliant model, business model, but it's been always skewed towards heavier investment and whoever's got the best engine, which is fine, but look at the way NASCAR runs, look at the way IndyCar runs. Everybody's got a chance to win on any given Sunday. And I think that Formula One, if it's going to go, you know, if it's going to be competitive throughout, it needs to change, in some ways, especially in the distribution of the money. I think it should be more of an NFL type thing, if it can be possibly done. It's going to take a lot of change. And you might turn around and go, well, Mercedes don't want any part of that, nor do Ferrari.
Yeah, and I know that, by the way, I thanks to everybody who's interacting on Twitter, Wally and Lisa and Vicky and everybody else. And if you want to jump in on this, just shoot us a tweet. That's
call
the easy
us.
Way. Or call us.
Vicky, yeah, give us a call.
512-643-LIVE. But the argument, I think, you tell me, Jonathan, I'm way newer to Formula One than you, but the argument to me about Ferrari getting more money than the other teams has been, what's good for Ferrari is good for Formula One, right? It is Ferrari, and it's iconic, but
is that something that goes back to 1950 and we need to get ahead of that? I mean, yeah, you know, so the Green Bay Packers used to be, I mean, everybody used to say the Steelers were the only team and America's team is the Cowboys, all that sort of stuff. Is that not a little dated in this modern era? And I think that that's a good parallel, to be honest. I really do think that Formula One, and look at the way that Formula E has taken off, and look at the manufacturers that are going to Formula E, and it is a problem.
Yep.
But Mercedes, Porsche, BMW,
like Andretti.
All of these teams. So, you know, these guys have got to watch their business. They've got to keep an eye on how the business is developing, how Formula One's developing. I think Liberty have jumped in and done a really good job of rectifying the social media and the sort of inclusiveness that Formula One needed. But this is just the first step. I mean, big business, all of the big business, whether it be NBA, whether it be the Olympics, whether it's soccer, all needs to look at himself, because we're all now competing for TV time. And, you know, it's not going to change.
Sure.
And it's changing dramatically.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is you had told us how easy it is to watch Formula One in UK.
Yeah.
I think that's a plus we need to get to, is it more prevalent, more accessible here in North America. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's absolute free to air, or at least have it on more than only NBCSN, I don't know what the answer is. But the other, back to the teams, my thoughts are, you know, when you bring a new employee in and it's a performance driven position, they have a ramp up where you come in and it's like, okay, you get 6 months, you get a year or whatever to get your sales territory up or whatever it is. And so what if Formula One considered something of, you get 2 years to get up to speed, we're going to give you a little bit of, you know, compensation that usually just goes to the top four finishers to get you rolling here.
You know, it's not unprecedented. Think about my question to you last week about Ducati. Mm-hmm. You know, remember a couple of years ago when they had the different classes in MotoGP?
That's right. They gave them a dispensation.
You know, gave them the flexible.
Right. They bent the rules, or not bent. They changed the rules a little bit to where Ducati had a little more of an advantage. So.
Yeah,
had an extra leader. Had, you know, a few other things. I think that is something that might be considered. I think it worked out very well for Ducati. Sitting here wearing a Ducati shirt,
but to be quite honest,
I think that was a great way to get Ducati to come play in the field, and why not do that in Formula One to get somebody up in it? Now, I understand that, you know, part of it, I'd have to question the relationship between Ducati and the privateer Ducati teams versus Mercedes and the non-Mercedes teams, how information is going to play back. Because I can just imagine a shell game of Mercedes going, hey, Jonathan, you want to come have an F1 team in Formula One? And here's our agreement. We're going to provide you an engine, but we're going to use some extra whatever, the flexibility that you get on your team to our benefit.
It's tricky, and it really is. And I mean, just to put one potted history in here to kind of give you a full perspective, BAR, or BAT, British American Tobacco, and BAR with Honda, a few years ago, with Jack Villeneuve at the helm, went racing with Jenson Button and all the rest of it. And they didn't, Honda, you know, they didn't achieve what they wanted to do there either. That then became Braun because they bought it for a song and a prayer. They bought it for a dollar. Ross Braun bought the team, kept Jenson. They then turned into Mercedes. Now they're a factory team. And now look where Mercedes are. Remember your history, guys. So, you know, while you're right to criticize, not criticize, that's the wrong way. We're not really criticizing. We're talking about it. But what I'm saying is even the mighty Mercedes of today were not that 10 years ago when they started out in Formula One with Michael Schumacher struggling in the Mercedes and everybody saying, what are you doing? Why? Well, he started in sports cars here. So he's trying to help Mercedes. And everybody said, well, it's a joke because they're nowhere. And this is not a good legacy for Michael driving a very slow car. I remember those days.
Yep, that's a good point.
So, you know, it swings around. McLaren won, like we said, 15 of the 16 races back in the 80s with Prost and Senna in a Honda McLaren.
Yep. It's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, so it is swings and roundabouts. I think the problem with Formula One compared to some of the other things we were talking about is the history. And Ferrari being the most powerful team in Formula One, as it were, and also the way the teams came together under Bernie Eccleston to effectively grow the sport together, using the promotion of the sport, using advertising, which had never been done in the early 70s when Bernie took over. So, you know, the model is what was brilliant for when they started out. It may not be going forward the perfect solution. And I think I'd love to hear what other people's opinions are on this, because I think we are going through a changing period in Formula One, for the good, I may add, but I think the model may change.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. Before we leave F1, we got to jump quickly, but I got to mention what it was fascinating to watch Ocon and Lance Stroll do so well this weekend. That's really,
really good. And it's really good for the future, isn't it?
Absolutely. What made me think of it is when you said Jacques Villeneuve.
By the way, another little footnote, Williams Martini sponsorship. They need a driver over the age of at least 21 because they can't market Stroll. He's 18.
And
they are an alcohol. So they can't use him for publicity, you know, adorned with a drink in his hand. I mean, Martini's old logo used to be anytime, any place, anywhere.
That's
try a taste
funny
of martini. So they need a Fernando.
That's
who's
an
at least
interesting
old enough
twist
to drink.
That's pretty good. All right, let's talk some WEC. WEC in Mexico, coming to Austin soon, but
2 weeks, 10 days.
Yep, and in Mexico today. What do you think?
I mean, good. It's good to see Mercedes performing all the way to the end, as it were. Another win for the big boys. And across the board, great to see in the GTs Aston Martin getting their first win of the year. And also the competition in LMP2, obviously heating up nicely. Bruno Senna having a good run and also having a good battle, probably one of the closest one. I think it was 25 seconds in the end to the finish of that. And also Matteo Caroli, who we did an interview with for the GTM class. He had a victory and they are rolling on. So yeah, some good stories all the way through. We hope to have some. I spoke to Andy Prio pre-Mexico. I also spoke to Matteo Caroli, as I said, and we'll also be hopefully speaking to Mike Conway and a few others on the way to Austin. Now they're all leaving Mexico, and obviously they've got some time off. Some of them are coming to the States, and some of them are going on holiday, but hopefully we'll hear more from the WEC boys.
Yeah, I wondered how Porsche, you know, winning today. I just wondered, you know, when did you talk about leaving the sport? Obviously, all that team's still fully committed, obviously, so they did good. So
one thing I am concerned about, obviously, looking at the new WEC calendar, is the lack of the Circuit of the Americas on that calendar. That's bad news, but they have gone for a 2-year a calendar which effectively, I think quite rightly, puts Le Mans as their Super Bowl.
And this 2-year, this is a correction of 2 years, so they can put Le Mans at the end of the season.
Correct. So in other words, you'll start it with the normal preamble next year in 2018. You go to Le Mans in June as normal, but the actual season is shorter in the number of races, but it will finish at next June, June 19, in Le Mans. And there is a TBC in February before Sebring. So, maybe. So the Americas may be there.
But that's February of 19.
Yes, that's correct.
And so there is a spot there if Coda were to somehow...
Well, it makes sense. They're trying to save on shipping and so on.
Yeah, Sebring.
And air freight. So Sebring's in Florida, so why not?
Sebring's right after that.
Yeah,
right, so it's in March. So that would make sense. So there is some hope.
Or Daytona. but you can't have a full Daytona and a wet race, which is going to be interesting because the Sebring one, by the way, is going to be very interesting. For those of you who haven't read it, get your tickets for Sebring because that is going to be the normal Sebring, which finishes at 10 o'clock. I can see Les is salivating. It finishes at 10 o'clock at night. And then guess what? Have a couple of beers because at midnight, on for another 6 hours, comes the Wet Boys.
Yeah, hey, I'm excited for it. And, you know, if y'all didn't make it out to COTA this weekend for the Pirelli World Challenge, you definitely want to make it to this race. The Lone Star Le Mans is a great
it's
race.
It's a good race.
It is.
Great race weekend.
Incredible cars and technology and racing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, recall, these are the folks that race Le Mans. They race the 24 hours, you know, there and at Daytona, the big Sebring race, all of that. The two-day weekend pass, it's a Friday and Saturday, you know, race weekend there, not on Sunday. Two-day pass is $79 for that. I mean, we're talking world class. This was great racing this weekend, but this is another step up higher, and you're going to recognize these names, you know, from those big races. Definitely something to check out, but I will say that there's a lot more than just those guys running.
Yeah, I was about to say, the single seaters is also very strong.
I'm fired up for this V8 series. Yeah. The Formula V8 3.5, you know, this is going to be fun.
Open wheel.
And, who won today? A fella called Fittipaldi, his sixth win. Yes, and you're right, it is that family, and it is that name, oh so famous, but the youngest version. So we are getting a Fittipaldi here. Let's hope Emerson joins him, because he has been to the Circuit of the Americas.
Oh, yeah.
But, it's the big boys of V8, and that's where Will Power came from. That's where Alexander Rossi came from.
Well, you know what? Here's an extra little thing. I know, you know, we still hear some folks commenting on the turbo motors aren't as loud.
Yeah.
These are loud.
These are very loud. Yeah.
You know, this is the best bang for the buck for things from technology to loud, fast, cool cars. Because really, the technology and the racing is approaching the levels of F1, but you're going to get, you know, for less money, less crowd, more access to the cars, all of that.
And there's something for little Jimmy and little Jenny because F4 are racing too. So they will be a bunch of teenagers, young and up and coming, several of which are from Texas, who will be racing in F4 the WEC weekend and will be coming back for the Formula One weekend. So if you're a single-seater, and you're looking towards the future of where the next Joseph Newgarden and Alexander Rossi's coming from, you'll see them at COTA.
And you'll find them on Speed City.
But
yes,
wait.
You will.
But wait, that's not all.
Oh, the Ferrari Challenge? You got
Ferrari Challenge, yay! Buddy, you got it. Hey, yeah, definitely check it out. The 488 Challenge will be here, awesome. As well as the 450 and a few of the others. But definitely the 488 is
Sammy Hagar's entered, right?
I tell you what, now I will say, we're gonna keep our ears open because Sammy asked if he could rent the track. And he goes, I've got some buddies. We'd like to bring some cars. And I know we'd have fun in this town.
Oh, I could have fun with Sammy and his mates.
I would hang out with Sammy at the Circuit of the Americas.
You could do a concert. They got it. They got an amphitheater. It all seems to work.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to have an interview we did with a young driver who was racing out at Circuit of the Americas today. Listen to Speed City, live from Austin, back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Revell's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at revellsheavyduty.com.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
You've made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
I forgot we had old Jeff Gordon on the show.
Oh, Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, he was hanging around in the F1 paddock. Talked about, you know, his test drive years ago in one of them, how much fun it was, but he just didn't think he was up to that.
Well, guys, we've missed one of the biggest stories of the week we haven't talked about, and that's Valentino
Rossi.
It's
because I'm sad about it.
I know. It's really scary. I mean, what? And you know, Jonathan, we were talking earlier. You don't think he should be doing this.
I don't think he should be hooning around at large speeds and breaking his tibia and fibia when he's actually not on a MotoGP bike. No, I do not. And it's pretty much put paid to, and I say that on behalf of Yamaha Moto, you know, MotoGP.
Because, are you getting paid to say that?
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, you know, I mean, to be honest, Formula One guys have absolute,
oh,
clear,
yeah,
crystal clear things. You
I'm
cannot
surprised.
Water ski, you cannot snow ski, you cannot skateboard. And, you know,
or Valentino, hang out with Les Kaiser.
Well, that should be in anybody's contract.
Wait a minute. That's only Mr. Roberts, because he runs me over. And I can understand, Alex, you know, Valentino Rossi, you knock him off the bike, Jonathan.
Yeah,
seriously.
You're under peril. You never know what amateurs you're going to come across.
You're a hypocrite.
I am a hypocrite. I knocked the guy off himself. Yeah. But
he won in,
what was that,
Brazil or Argentina? He won
did.
After knocking some other rider off.
Yeah, the world champion. No, it's a bad news story because he was fourth in the title chase. He has badly broken his leg in two places. He's at a hospital, but we're really talking, the doctors are advising 30 to 40 days rest. Well, I expect it to be something like 10, and I expect him to hobble back just as Mick Doohan did back in the heydays of his career. But either way, he's going to be secondhand. And funnily enough, Rossi's had very, very few motor racing incidents in his career. Most of his injuries seem to be when he's not actually riding professionally.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump into this next interview we did with a young gentleman who was racing out at Circuit of the Americas in the Pirelli World Challenge earlier today. And his name is Nate Stacy, and he's a 17-year-old. He's been
with us before.
He's been with us before. He's been racing a long time. So let's hear this interview with Nate Stacy.
Hey, Nate, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to Speed City. How was the Circuit of the Americas this afternoon? Sounds like a good day.
It was a good day. We had a pretty good start. Cleared a couple rows and got up to, we were at P7 for a while, but that KTM and that Lotus got by us, and we finished P8.
Well, you know, it was a pretty hot day when I was out there, and how did that play out? I felt like the humidity was really changing back and forth, according to the breeze yesterday. So how'd that play into your strategy today?
Yeah, we looked at some of the readings on the McLarens from our sister team, and they were looking at some different sensors they have on their car, and apparently over in the hairpin, the humidity was actually not as bad as over by the front straightaway, which was kind of odd. But the humidity definitely plays an effect. It takes our horsepower away. It makes the car burn the tires off a little bit more. It makes us have a little bit less fuel efficiency, which is actually kind of odd. You wouldn't think that would have an effect on it. But it definitely plays it jacks with all of our systems.
Yeah, well, I think that probably is reflective of the environment around, the topography, if you will, of the landscape, because back in the hairpin, it's a little more flat. You're not getting as much wind move around back there. So my guess is you've got a little bit of that going on to affect that. So
yeah,
with that, how do you accommodate that?
Really, to be honest, everyone's dealing with it, so you just drive to the best of your ability into that corner and into that section, and whether your car handles better or not, you can definitely go back and look at the times, and certain cars would drop, and every other car would be affected somehow, whether it be more or less, just depending on the car and where they're at when it happens. But to be honest, the humidity is constantly changing. It's not a solid set thing that day, so it's definitely just adapt as much as you can. It's not going to change the handling effect of your car. It may make the track a little bit greasy, but other than that, it won't do too horrible much. You don't really notice it too much unless you're looking for it.
Nate, I'm always interested how drivers get to where they are, and you're pretty much a baby of the championship in the Pirelli World Challenge, and but of course you've done stuff before that. But you grew up watching your dad race here in Texas, right?
Yeah, my dad raced all over the South U.S. He raced over down in Texas, up into Colorado, all over Oklahoma. And it's funny you say that. I'm a baby in the series. I've been around in the series now. I've raced for 6 years, and I've raced professionally now for 4 years. And this is my fourth year professionally racing. And it's kind of funny because compared to most of the other guys that are in my class, besides Lawson Aschenbach and Ian James, it's like there's not many other guys who are more experienced or have more years than me in the car. It just depends on what kind of car you're driving and how you are on the championship right now. My teammate Rodrigo Bautista has been racing for a good while, and he's driven GT3 cars, and he's racing a cup car over in Brazil. So he definitely has a pretty good edge on that cup car, on the Cayman, for sure. So it's been a really good learning experience for me. Still just a tiny bit behind in times, but we looked at sectors, and according to our best sectors on I was only about two or three tenths behind him. So definitely improving, and I think for next year, I think we'll be really good.
We, as you well know, we have lots of different other races coming to the Circuit of the Americas, from Formula One to MotoGP. And it just seems, and we've got WEC coming in a couple of weeks, a lot of people, a lot of drivers, it's almost unanimous, like the circuit. In terms of PWC, how much is of a challenge is this particular layout compared to where else you race?
This track is actually not that hard of a track to get a handle on. There's a couple little things here and there, and the track's gotten rougher over the years. I feel like they're going to need to repave it before Formula One gets in. There's some really, really big bumps and some crowns that are right at apex in a couple corners, and it definitely makes it kind of scary. It sent a couple of radical cars into the wall.
Yeah, Jonathan, I think he misunderstood what you meant. He's a baby of the series.
Of the series, not a baby in. Yes.
Yeah, well, we have the
full... Well, he is 17, though. So.
It's true. It's hard. You know, he's 17. He's probably a little sensitive, just like all 17-year-olds. But we'll have the full interview of that with Nate Stacy up on our SoundCloud account. That's a good point. Make sure you check out our SoundCloud. We put lots of clips that don't make it to the show and that don't make it to our podcasts either. So they don't.
And there's usually Les's ramblings and thoughts for a whole week, you know, because we don't get time to get all of them in.
Exactly.
He's giving me one of those Les looks.
Yeah.
It makes it at a lower volume. You don't have to put the radio in the next room to listen to it, though.
Special podcast, Les is more.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in tonight. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Thanks for hitting us on Twitter as well. Talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Happy trails.
Someone to love.
Someone to love.
Sweetheart to miss.
Sweetheart to kiss.
Sugar to kiss.
Sugar to kiss.
I need you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.